Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Something is about to happen.
BFT.
Now listen up, everyone.
Let's go. The Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano.
I gotta say, I love him most of the time. I think he's right on.
He's okay.
John's great. He's a little unusual.
Live every afternoon, 12 to 3 p.m.
I hate that guy because he just never knows what he's talking about.
I think he does a damn good job.
That's my dude, man. Yeah, y'all know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Now, from the Pac West Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth.
We got so much to get to. So much to talk about. I want to know what you thought of Myers-Leonard's interview. 503-417-7575. Certainly, he humanized himself. Talking about his dog. Talking about the hate he gets on Twitter. Why do you hate Myers-Leonard? Is it because of the contract? Is it because you feel let down? Is it because he's white? Why don't you like Myers-Leonard? Because you hate him on Twitter. It's all I hear about. And I look at him and I'm like, and I thought he made a great point. He has this $41 million contract put in front of him. What's he supposed to do? Say, no, I don't want to let anybody. Of course you take the money. Of course you sign that deal if the Blazers are offering it. Why do you hate on Myers-Leonard? And is there anything he could do to change that? Humanized himself, certainly. He's got to play some better basketball. But he sounds like a guy who's locked in maybe for the first time in his career. And I also heard a guy whose confidence is rattled. Rattled by the fact that Zach Collins, who's going to be coming up at 2:30 on the show, has been drafted by the Blazers. You've got Neil Olshey, who's talking all about Collins. And by the way, I love the draft pick. I don't know if you've heard me say that yet, but I like the pick of Zach Collins. But if I'm Myers-Leonard, I'm looking around going, hey, wait a minute. Last summer you loved me. What now? You tell me what you thought of the Myers-Leonard interview. Did he change your mind? Did he become more of a human to you? I have to talk about Oregon State baseball, which I think got screwed by a home plate umpire over the weekend. First of all, the crew chief misses a fair foul call, and Pat Casey owned that, saying he should have appealed that, asked for a review. But the crew chief's got to get that right. He's got to huddle his guys together and say, hey, should we take another look at this? That's a 3-1 game that turned and pivoted on that play. Then in the final game of their season against LSU, I don't know what more you can do, but man, did it look bad when that home plate umpire was calling balls that were 6 inches outside strikes. And I hated seeing that. I hated seeing Oregon State's season end that way. Pat Casey deserves a fair share of the blame. Then he came out in that final game arguing with the umpire who is now at first base over another call. But certainly Oregon State baseball, I think, got hosed in Omaha. If you have a reaction to that, we can talk about that. We'll play some audio about that later in the show. And again, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports is coming up in a few minutes to talk about Caleb Swanigan, one of the new Blazers introduced today, and a guy that an NBA scout told me has got some Zach Randolph in him. Self-made, hardworking, tough, Caleb Swanigan. And you'll hear Jerry Palm, who is a Purdue fan, and makes no bones about it. As a media member, I try to, you know, I say, hey, I'm objective. I don't have a dog in the fight. I say things like that. Jerry Palm's got a dog in the fight. He works for CBS, and he started there in bracketology and in predicting the BCS years ago. And he is now just their resident numbers geek who looks at such things. But I met him first of all when I was covering Purdue as a beat reporter in the late 1990s, and Drew Brees was there as the quarterback, and at Mackey Arena, you had Gene Cady, who had Brian Cardinal on that team, and some other good players, and Purdue was a Sweet 16 team in the season that I covered them. But I met Jerry Palm, and he was such a Purdue honk that when Caleb Swanigan was drafted by the Blazers, Jerry Palm's the first person I heard from. He's like, you're going to love Caleb Swanigan. And I said, why don't you come on our show and you tell our listeners about it? And he said, okay. So you hear Jerry Palm later. What'd you think of Myers-Leonard? I thought he humanized himself. I don't know if I believe him when he said he slept through the draft. Do you? Is he looking over his shoulder? Does he have a place in Portland? Or is it incumbent upon the Blazers to shed that salary that they gave him a summer ago? Again, why are you blaming him? Blazers gave him the $41 million and now apparently are moving in another direction. Do you put that on him? What did you hear in that interview with Myers-Leonard? 503-417-7575. We have two lines open. John's in Portland's going to lead us off. John, what'd you hear?
Yeah, good interview. I think humanizing him is a good way to put it. I don't know how they're going to unload the poor guy's contract. And so it's probably going to be kind of an uncomfortable season for him coming out. If he can stay injury-free, I think he's a pretty skilled player. He's pretty athletic for his height. So good luck to him. I know this is old news, John, but wanted to bring up the Ducks basketball team and Cavell and that whole mess. Really poor judgment, tone deaf, if nothing else, to bring the guy in when he had that problem in Wyoming.
Yeah, it really interesting thing on the timeline, and I think it's being lost on a lot of people. And I missed it the first time that I saw it as well. And he's talking about Cavell Bigby Williams, who has since transferred from Oregon and is apparently headed to LSU if they'll take him. But in September of 2016 in Wyoming, a case was opened, a sex assault investigation involving Cavell Bigby Williams. And people want to think Oregon recruited a player who had a sex assault allegation pending. It didn't. If you look at the timeline, Cavell Bigby Williams was already an Oregon basketball player at the time of that assault. So let's first of all change the discussion to this was an Oregon Ducks basketball player who had already been to Europe with Dana Altman and the basketball team in August, who was back in Wyoming, apparently, who knows why, visiting friends, packing up his stuff, and decided, apparently to get himself mixed up in something. Now, charges have not been brought, and some time has passed. So I'm not saying there's a criminal matter here or not. The police will decide that. But what I am looking at is Oregon's reaction to this. I didn't like it, and I wrote it. I wrote it on Oregon Live. I wrote it in the Oregonian. I didn't like it for a number of reasons. Oregon's immediate reaction to the student newspaper that broke this, Kenny Jacoby, the student newspaper reporter down there in Eugene who broke this thing for the Daily Emerald, did a great job on the story, reported it well. First of all, the reaction from the university president, Michael Schill, I thought was embarrassing. And he has since released a statement, and I'm glad he did. Because I think the first message of any university president when there's a sex assault allegation, investigation, question, needs to be a strong statement about, hey, our campus is safe. We take this matter seriously. We'll do everything we can to assist in any investigation. And I want to assure women, especially on campus in Eugene, that they're safe and this is an important matter to us. That needed to be said first and foremost by the university president, and it wasn't. He later came out with a statement in which he made those points, and I'm glad he did. The second part, Dana Altman, the Oregon Ducks basketball coach, according to the report in the Daily Emerald, investigators asked for the contact information of Cavell Bigby Williams, a basketball player that had already been to Europe with Dana Altman and the team, that was part of Dana Altman's plan for this next season that would result in them being in the Final Four. Now, according to Rob Mullins and Dana Altman, they both, were aware that the police were looking for Cavell Bigby Williams and didn't ask any more questions. To me, that's a little Pollyanna and a whole lot of ostrich with a head buried in the sand. And you don't get to do that as the athletic director at Oregon and as the basketball coach at Oregon. And I like Rob Mullins, and I think Dana Altman is a good X and O basketball coach. But the more I look at the act of, hey, we didn't know, we didn't ask, I'm not giving you a pass on that. As the athletic director and the men's basketball coach on campus at Oregon, you also are in positions of leadership. If the police are asking my employer or my neighbor for my contact information, My employer and my neighbors are probably asking, well, what's this regarding? I know I would be. So basketball coaches at places like the University of Oregon are often able to lean back and go, hey, we didn't ask. Student privacy, all that stuff. Oregon has every basketball player that comes into the program now sign a FERPA release. That's a student records release. They run background on the players, and they should. They're bringing people to campus. They need to make sure they're bringing people to campus that they feel good about. But for Dana Altman to sit back and say, hey, I didn't know. You know, I didn't ask. I think it's nonsense. And I think when you look at what he's saying, what Rob Mullins is apparently saying, I needed more from those guys, and I'm glad that a statement has since been released by Oregon. So I'm not convicting Cavell Bigby-Williams. I'm just saying those in positions of leadership at Oregon, step it up. Ask questions and don't try to pretend like you didn't know. When we all know, you only know what you want to know in the positions of athletic director and basketball coach. It's bureaucracy, the Ostrich Act, I'm not buying it, and University President Michael Schill, thank you for finally issuing that statement saying how important it was that this is a matter that's important to students on campus. All right, let's turn the attention to Caleb Swanigan. Neil Olshey said this about Zach Collins and Caleb Swanigan, his draft picks.
You know, I think the toughness is just more from a mindset. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, hockey thugs. I'm talking about guys that are mentally tough. When you look at a guy like, you look at a guy like Caleb, what he's been through, how he's transformed himself physically, mentally, what he's done with his game, what he's been through as a person, that kind of toughness. A guy like Zach Collins, who we know is a chippy player, doesn't back down. You guys that cover the WCC.
Appreciate the work you do on the NCAA tournament and also fixing the BCS, giving us this college football playoff, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Jerry Palm of CBS Sports is a guy that has covered the NCAA basketball scene for some time and has intimate knowledge of Caleb Swanigan as a player. I got a chance to interview him and talk with him earlier today. Here's that interview.
I'm with Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, resident sports geek there, and a huge... Can I call you a Purdue fan? Are you still a Purdue fan?
Of course. I was a Purdue fan. I was born there, went to school there. Been a Purdue fan a lot longer than I've been sports writer. So I have to set that aside at times. But, still a big Purdue fan.
Caleb Swanigan goes to the Blazers with that 26th pick in the first round. I see a guy who's just a fantastic story. For those of you who don't know, this is a kid who battled childhood obesity and homelessness and has fought for everything that he has earned in life and in basketball. But Jerry Palm, you followed him up close from his recruitment and there in the state of Indiana. Tell us about Caleb Swanigan.
Well, he's a guy, you know the story, as you just said. Caleb Swanigan is a guy with tremendous work ethic and had to have tremendous work ethic in order to turn his life around. And obviously he got some great guidance along the way. Roosevelt Barnes, who played football and basketball at Purdue, was a linebacker in the NFL and is now an agent, adopted him through connections and helped to provide, you know, the structure that he needed in his life. And he's got his own discipline and his own work ethic and really turned his life around is a guy that excels at, you know, whatever he tries to do. And you've seen it, you know the story, but then you see it at Purdue too, where, you know, he's a second team academic All-American. So he puts his same work ethic into his studies. But, you know, after his freshman year, he comes out of high school. He's a five-star recruit and he's looking at Michigan State and is originally going to go there, ends up at Purdue. After his freshman year, was looking at the NBA, and a lot of guys, you know, they go into that process with the thought that they're going. He went into that process with the thought of, what do I need to do? Am I ready now? First of all, is a question, but if I'm not, what do I need to do? And he was told a few things that he needed to work on and went and made himself better in those areas. And in particular, his outside shot last year was one of the things that they said that he needed to get better at. and, you know, you tell him, you know, you need to do this better or you can't do this, and you're going to find out that he will work very hard to make sure that he can. And that's probably, you know, other than his actual skills, and he's got a lot of skills, his best asset as a basketball player is the willingness to work to improve the areas where he's deficient.
I think that real shortage of that in the NBA. I talked to an NBA scout right after the Blazers picked him, and he said he's a guy who's going to have success against other second-team guys in the league, meaning he'll be a rotation player that'll play, he'll make the Blazers better. Is that chip on his shoulder big enough that maybe you could see Caleb Swanigan as a starter one day in the league?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would be surprised if he wasn't a starter one day in the league. I don't know about the first day in the league. But, yeah, I would be surprised if he didn't eventually end up a starter. Now, his game is more of a low post kind of a game. He likes to get in there and mix it up with people. He's a fantastic rebounder, great nose for the ball in that situation. But he's also, you know, a very good passer, an improving shooter, as we've seen, and, you know, will continue to improve in all of those areas. But the thing that he'll probably have to do, the difference between being a reserve and a starter for him in the NBA, will be better defense one-on-one, especially in some space. And I think that that's something that he'll work on and get better at. I will be really surprised if he's not a starter. If he stays healthy, and that's the big if with every athlete, Caleb Swanigan's going to be around the NBA for a decade or so.
The comparison that the scout made to me was Zach Randolph. He said he's got a little Zebo in him.
Yeah, maybe. I could see that. I think of him in terms of another Purdue guy who played for a long time in the NBA, and that's Brian Cardinal, who had a lot of the same attitude. Now, Brian was more of a small forward type and more of a natural shooter than Caleb is. He's more of an inside player. But I think that, you know, that's a guy. Caleb Swanigan's a guy that you want on your team because he's going to lead by example from the first day that he's in there, and he's got the skill to help you win games.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, is our guest. I know that when he originally declared for the draft, people were not sure, was he going to stay in it? Of course, he's got a dad who has adopted him who is an agent, so there was no need to hire an agent. But
right.
But as a Purdue fan and the Purdue fan base, they had to be hoping he was coming back, right?
You always hope to get more of a guy like that, right? In college sports, you know, we as fans, we only get him for 4 years, right? And then, you know, that's part of the charm, I think, of college sports is that there's always turnover on the roster and, you know, your old favorites leave and new favorites come. But, yeah, of course, Purdue fans wanted him back for another year. But I don't know what was left for him to prove in college basketball at this point. He needed to get out and play against pros every day, and that's how he's going to improve now, is by playing against a higher level of competition in practice.
I look at a guy like this, and I think he's a tough guy, and I know Neil Olshey.
He was number two in the nation in defensive rebounding. He can bang. He's tough. He scores around the block. He's just one of those guys we all keep talking about. We get into these non-position basketball anymore that you just put him on the court and let him play.
The Blazers general manager made that comment. Is Caleb Swanigan a tough guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Mentally tough for sure, but also physically tough. And you have to be to mix it up with some of the guys that he's been mixing it up with, both in practice at Purdue, like A.J. Hammonds, and then Isaac Haas, who's, you know, 7'2 and 300 pounds, and, you know, banging against a guy like that in practice. And then, you know, some of the guys you see in the Big Ten and in college basketball, he's definitely a tough guy.
All right, the Blazers get Caleb Swanigan. I imagine fans are going to love him. You right away after the pick reached out to me, and you're like, hey, people are going to love this guy. You're going to love this guy. I love his story. I mean, it's just such a good story. He's that kid that you know, every nonprofit organization that wants to help a kid that deserves a shot at his dream, that's Caleb Swanigan. I mean, that's the kid everybody's trying to help.
Yeah, exactly. It is that story, and you know, it doesn't always turn out this well, obviously. You know, this is a guy who got an opportunity and took full advantage of it. Obviously, he's blessed with some natural ability, but it didn't show up right away because, you know, of his situation and just being overweight. You know, once he put the work in and got into an environment where he was able to put the work in, you could see, you know, you talk about a self-made man. I mean, you know, obviously Roosevelt Barnes provided the opportunity for that. But, you know, he deserves a ton of credit for the work that he's put into making himself who he is just to this point in his life. And he's, what, 19 years old? A long way to go still for Caleb Swanigan.
All right, we've got to fix the NBA still. You and I need to get together on this. I'd like to make you commissioner of the league to help small market teams, because I just feel like if you're not good in the draft, if you're Portland, you don't make good trades, free agency is just not available to you. A team like Portland can't get better.
Well, I can't help you with that.
I know.
I don't know how to fix that particular problem, but Cleveland isn't really a huge market. But you got LeBron James, right?
And
drafted him, gave him up, got him back as a free agent. So,
yeah, give us LeBron as the example, Jerry Palm. We'll go out and get LeBron. Leave it right here. Punch It Audio next. It might seem crazy what I'm
about to say. More with John Canzano, the bald-faced truth. I'm a
hot air balloon that could go to space. I think you're mad at me. You tweet at me and you tell me that you don't like when we have a guest host when I'm out. And you tweet at me when I do a best of when I'm out, and you say you don't like that either. What you're saying to me is you don't want me to leave the studio. I get that. I went from Omaha, where I was covering Oregon State baseball. I went to Anaheim over the weekend, and the 14-year-old is a big VidCon person. If you don't know what VidCon is, it's the annual YouTube convention. If you have a teenager, you should be going just to see what they're into. Try to stay cool like I am. Walking around there. We also made a Disneyland visit. We made Saturday Disney Day. And we took the one-year-old and the three-year-old mostly into California Adventure. And if you've got little kids, you know what I'm talking about when you say, man, yeah, it's the happiest place on earth. It's also like I love being back to work. It's easier to be at work than it is to be in Disneyland with four kids. But the one-year-old and the three-year-old are not into, like, they don't want to go on the Tower of Terror that is now Galaxy of the Guardians, or Guardians of the Galaxy, whatever that is, or California Screaming, or all the roller coasters and the fast rides. The kids want to go on, like, the Caterpillar ride. And when Disneyland, they want to go on It's a Small World. But the 11-year-old and the 14-year-old in the household want to go on all the fast rides. They want to go on Matterhorn. They want to get a fast pass and go on Space Mountain. So there comes a decision as a parent that you make when you're in Disneyland and you've got kids with a vast array of interests, where you have to decide which of the kids you're okay if they get kidnapped. I guess that's the decision you have to make. Because there just came a point where we turned to the 11-year-old and the 14-year-old and we're like, you're in Disneyland, it's a pretty safe place. Go on Space Mountain, Matterhorn, meet us back here in like an hour. And the fact that they've got a cell phone on them helps, because we could track them. But I'm just saying, like, it's having a double stroller in Disneyland, that's like the Amazing Race. Gliss, producer of the show, you got a pack of kids yourself. You've been to Disneyland. You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You can just see the discomfort in the parents' face, right? Like the middle of the afternoon when it starts to get hot and the kids are falling apart. They haven't had enough to eat. It's a little rough.
It's that middle of the day. We went back to the hotel in the middle of the day.
That's the best strategy. You go early, spend a couple hours, go take a break, and then go back out when it's cool.
Except my middle of the day break was, hey, VidCon's still going on. Let mom rest and the little babies take naps. Dad, go over to the Anaheim Convention Center with us and walk around and watch, you know, Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else is going on in the world.
So you got no rest.
No rest for me.
Sounds fun. Good time.
I feel good. I'm back to work. Dave's called in. We're going to get to Punch It Audio here in a moment. Dave, where are you, man?
Currently about 70 miles east of Boise.
What are you doing 70 miles east of Boise, Idaho?
Well, I'm on my way back from the College World Series.
Oh, man.
So second day on the road back. But what I wanted to talk about, John, and I'll try to keep this sensible and civil, but I have to say it's been rich listening to the show that we've been streaming over the last hour or so, with you complaining about meanness and negativity on Twitter, and then more recently the Swanigan deserving a shot at redemption an adult professional basketball
player. Wait a minute. Why does he need a shot at redemption?
Well, that's what you and Jerry Palm were talking about.
No, Swanigan didn't do anything. Swanigan didn't do anything. Redemption was not the theme of the Caleb Swanigan interview. What it was this is a guy who's overcoming homelessness and obesity.
Yeah.
And I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
He's not a registered sex offender. Let's start with that. Can we agree on that?
Yes, we can agree on
it. All right. Thank you for conceding that point. All right. What else is on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that I'll concede that, John, if you concede that you need to do some brushing up on juvenile law in the state of Washington, of which you know little, as you evidence little, certainly in print from what I've seen. And if anyone, and here's a young man who was building his own story of redemption. And if you want, what you ought to do is stay in your lane, which is sports news rather than criminal justice. And why don't you investigate, for example, the travesty of the SEC ESPN Nexus with a little dose of Nike influence. And you're talking about small market teams like the Trailblazers needing some help. Well, there's a small market team down in the little college town of Corvallis, Oregon, that needs the press in the state of Oregon, not being one of its principal enemies, to which you are one of the contributing factors. So I know I'm frustrated. I know it's coming through, but this was yellow journalism at its worst. What happened, and I'm sure there's some people that are happy that Oregon State's season came a cropper, but they went without their best pitcher and their starting left fielder. Coach bungled that call on Friday, so there's lots of blame to go around.
You're frustrated. You're frustrated.
You're
angry. You're angry and you're frustrated, and you're streaming this show, and now I'm giving you a platform to vent. Do you feel better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, now I'm going to go, because you're saying they went without their best pitcher. That was their choice.
They were stampeded into that choice by the likes of what you wrote in the print radio.
Were they, or did they decide, hey, bringing a registered sex offender to Omaha, where, by the way, he would have had to register as a sex offender in the state of Nebraska and in Omaha. Did you know that? Bringing him there would have been a huge distraction to this team. And
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.